With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch. I am your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam.
I like butts, and I cannot lie.
And Max.
It's true, he cannot tell a lie.
Doug actually admitted to being out of town this time.
Yeah.
Which makes you think he's lying.
I bet he's probably in town.
He's probably here.
He's in the room.
Yeah. If Doug had LL Cool J level camouflage skills, I would be so happy.
He is the table that we're using right now. Yeah, that would be it. Well, just any real world application of the movie Toys that isn't just the drone prediction that they made that came true.
Oof.
Yeah. That would be great.
This was a couple years ago. I looked for a really good clear GIF of him standing up, and it doesn't exist. So I probably have to sit down and make it.
You mean of LL Cool J standing up off the couch,
Off the couch and having a patterned beret. Which is the best part. He has the beret still.
Imagine pitching that role to LL Cool J.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Cool James. we got a role for you, sir. Is the character badass? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah.
Also silly. Like, also kind of silly.
Very silly.
Yeah.
I don't think his legitimacy is ever in question in the movie, right?
No. I don't think they ever bring up the direct thing that he's adopted. Like, he's obviously adopted.
Obviously,
In the logic of the movie. But they never...
No.
I don't think they ever talk about it. They're never like, well, you're adopted. Like, that never is the conversation.
Because they're probably like, yeah, and she's a robot. Like,
yeah. Spoiler alert. It's not the weirdest thing. What, for 1992's Toys?
I think if the movie is sufficiently obscure enough, which I don't think Toys qualifies for, if it's sufficiently obscure enough, it is appropriate to spoiler alert.
Like Eric Romay's Seven Moral Tales or whatever.
Perfect example, because I assume.
All right, sorry, you're here for the Toys podcast.
We're redoing this. We cannot, listen, if we do a Toys podcast without Kat, she will murder us.
She'll be a special guest for one of the seven planned episodes.
And all the 46 unplanned ones.
Whole episode just on Joan.
So gents, today, at the behest of Liam, and I think he's right, we're going back into mechanics, back into the steps. We're going to fill out the rest of step six. We're going to start with... I was going to say,
do the hustle, baby. I want those steps.
All right. So
you're saying we're Mike, and we're getting into the mechanics.
That's a... You know what?
I don't know that reference.
All Out. Mike and the Mechanics was an 80s new wave band.
Oh, okay. Good reference.
Just sliding it in.
And man, boy, howdy, have we got some steps.
We haven't got them, and that's the problem. So
all in here, baby.
We had at least five.
Yeah, right? So we've got five done. Well, technically six done. Zealotry's kind of in flux. There's some mechanical changes that we've implemented since creating the virtues for step six for Zealotry. So I'm implementing those kind of behind the scenes to flesh them out and change the language so it fits what we have currently.
But that's a lot of that is boring and clerical, and we'll go over it when we're finished.
Yeah, and we've already done most of the mechanical concept work on that. So the rest is just getting the words exact. Yeah. But much like a waltz, we have four steps to do that are unfinished. The ones that have complete step sixes right now are Citadel, Death, Fire, Ice, and Scoundrel.
Champ. Just champ it up then.
Yep. The ones on the docket are Champion, Command, Marksman, and Radiance. So
I was going to say, like, we obviously have favored paths, and then you list the four that we didn't do, and I'm like, I think a couple of those we were saving because we're like, nah, dog, later, don't worry about it. Like,
now the
champ and marksman, fuck.
Because step six is kind of all over the map in terms of what each path gets. If anybody has an idea about another path while we're working on one, we'll just add it to the list. We're just going to roll with it, and then we'll probably finish them all kind of at once to make sure they get equal representation in this step, even if they're what they've gotten is wildly different. So, for instance, of the things they've gotten, Citadel has gotten a feature called Critical Shove. When they land a crit on a creature size 3 or smaller, move it one space in any direction and enter the space it vacated.
That's good.
Which, that's a great passive. And then they get the second step of their heraldry, which is just a lot of passive buffs. So step 6 Citadel is very passive.
I like passive buffs. I also cannot lie.
Well, I think it works for how conceptually the path works. Is they're a reactionary player. Like, stuff happens and a Citadel player gets to go, no, it doesn't. Something happens and then he gets to go, this also happens now.
Heraldry is great and really interesting, and it's awesome that it's customizable, but you don't get a lot of new toys with Citadel. But that's generally Citadel's thing. They're kind of light on toys in general.
But also, I think we gave them a bunch of reactionary abilities, and we've stated that they don't get the same limits on, like,
they just get
to have that in their back pocket. I mean, mostly what they're there to do is to control the board state. And if you're the type of person who enjoys that, man, Citadel is a great way to not really do a lot of damage and feel really important if you're if you're used to that kind of thinking.
It's interesting because, like, you would say, oh, are you used to playing a control mage? Very effective in, like, D&D and Pathfinder, where you just cast Hold Monster, Hideous Laughter, Grease.
Yeah.
Like, just really powerful crowd control abilities. This is a melee path.
Yeah,
that you can do that in without feeling like you're super vulnerable by being in combat.
It's a lot of fun when they're like 7 points of damage and you're like, okay.
Oh, whatever.
Yep.
And if you have more than 7 armor, you get to hit them as an immediate reaction. Step 6 death gets really fun stuff. They get Hecatomb, which is the ability we added that you damage yourself to deal a ton of damage to everybody who can see you. And then you get your Ravener, which is a giant flesh golem that deals damage and heals itself and denies an area, becomes a second tank. Fire gets a passive called Crucible. Every time you hit with an attack action that deals fire damage, you gain a Crucible point. And every round when an enemy takes no fire damage from one of your active effects or a miss attack, you lose a Crucible point. And you may have a maximum amount of them equal to your level. And whenever an enemy targets you with a melee attack, they must first succeed at an endurance check. And if they do, they attack as normal. If they fail, they must choose a different action or no action at all. And the endurance check is made more difficult by the amount of Crucible points you have.
I like that.
So it's just hard to overcome how much heat you're putting off to attack you. And I think that's a really, that's really powerful for fire. Because you're a living hand grenade.
It also just feels so good and flavorful. And it and again, that feels like something that D&D never really did with that specific.
Yeah, you could place Sanctuary and buffs like that on people as like a paladin or a cleric, but not, it's not self-eminent in the same way for like evocation wizards.
I just like the image of a fire mage strolling through a fight.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, no, I don't want to deal with it. Oh,
archers, kill that guy right now. Like, you have to knock him out. He's too hot for us to get close to. Too hot to handle, and ice is about to be too cold to hold.
Ooh.
So, and they also get Primer, which is a per scene swift ability. You focus on your attack, and if your next attack this round hits, you roll a d4, and the target gains a fire vulnerability equal to the result. You roll another 4, and the target's dodge is also reduced by that result.
Ooh.
Against attacks that deal fire damage. Both effects last until the end of the scene. Now, only criticism I have about Primer is that the damage bonus doesn't scale with your level.
Yeah.
Right? And you're already step 6.
I just think that the dodge nerf is worth it. I mean, the extra damage is icing.
Oh, yeah. I think the extra damage is icing. However, you can only use this on one enemy once per scene. I'll add a note that you can only get this by the time you get to step 6, right? Mm-hmm. A d4 in dodge is permanently good. It doesn't need to be better than that. Damage, I mean, you're already minimum level 5.
Yes.
We could have it start at level 5 at a d4 and go up per level, because there are so many.
Then it's got to be disconnected from the dodge.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my thinking is roll a d4. Its dodge is reduced by that many. And then your level minus 4 is the dice tier on how much extra fire damage you deal. Because if you think about it, we started die 4, right? Then it goes die 6, die 8, die 10, die 12, 2d. I mean, by that time, you're very high level. Although that's a lot of extra damage, potentially. But you do have to roll it still.
You have to roll it, and what, to get to 2d6, you have to be step 10? No, I don't 6, even think you 8. Even get it.
I'm just adding the extra levels. You would have to be level 10. Yeah. So you would be steps. You'd be
once an encounter.
You'd be step 11 fire.
Yeah, 2d6 for an encounter, an additive counter ability.
Yeah,
at step 11, you're fine.
You've made a lifelong commitment.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah,
we're going to make something for step 7 that is going to deal more damage than that
for sure. So. Yeah, I think I'm good with that.
Yeah,
you guys think so?
Yep.
Yes.
How about this? How about increases purely from your ranks in fire? Or is that a weird disconnect from the rest of the system?
I think that's a weird disconnect from the rest of the system.
Okay. All right. So,
because the abilities that you get for taking a step always should improve no matter what steps you take.
I agree. From leveling up, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I agree. We'll test it.
I know. I have a guy for that.
Really, the sweet spot on that thing is the dodge reduction.
And also just with how, if you're casting with hands, or there's a bunch of other stuff where, like, the more you hit a single target, the worse it gets. It's good with flavor. It's good mechanic.
Yeah. And when you're used to having your dodge and it just gets taken away from you, that is your world.
And I also think it's good that it's specific to fire damage.
Yes.
That's a good pick. Because if it was everyone, it would be, it would be ridiculous.
I almost think that maybe it's better to have the damage not be a roll, whereas the dodge being a roll is rolling a d4 is relevant to dodge reduction the entire game. Whereas I think instead of making a dice tier, we could just say it's a flat 2 damage extra that increases by 1 with your level. So their fire vulnerability goes up by 1 point with your level from that ability. What do you think, Max?
Oh, he's down with the easy math.
Or should it be 2, or should it be based on your strength? Strength plus. Plus your level from here on out?
If it's strength, I don't think it should increase with your level.
Okay. Because you can increase it.
Yeah. I think I like that better, Liam. Their fire vulnerability increased by a number equal to your strength?
Yeah. You can scale it or not scale it.
Sold American.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. Because then it can increase with your level if you choose that to be the thing you increase. Okay. Yes, I like that.
Well, I got a lot of fire experience under my belt, and that sounds real good.
More incentive to increase strength as fire when composure is your main damage stat is good.
I don't think it is.
Composure? Yeah. No. That's your primary damage additive, and strength also adds to it.
Yeah.
It adds to your dodge as well.
It adds to your dodge. I don't think you ever would increase your composure because all of strength does the same thing, and it adds to your dodge.
That's a good point.
But I kind of like that because I think... Doesn't ice almost gets the same thing with endurance?
You get secondary bonuses from composure that are more useful. Like you get an increased number of orbs that also deal extra damage and stuff like that. Okay, so judging those two and juggling them, I think it's fine.
And two stats is fine.
It's fine.
There are builds that are going to use three stats just based on pathing,
especially hybrid builds.
Yeah.
So step 6, ice, baby. They've got three things. They get Frostbite. This is similar to Primer.
These being attached makes sense.
Whenever an enemy becomes affected by a targeted or area ability of yours, and whenever it strikes you with a melee attack, it gains a stack of Frostbite. So all of these things give it stacks of Frostbite. Mm-hmm. And whenever you deal damage to an enemy afflicted by Frostbite, you deal extra damage equal to the number of stacks.
Perfect.
Simple. Like, it's the opposite of the fire one, where it becomes harder to hit you based on the stacks. This one, you just deal more damage. Coating of Frost.
I think we did both of these in the same episode. I think it was a Fire and Ice episode.
Yeah. The Pat Benatar episode.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Ralph Bakshi episode.
Nice.
What's another Fire and Ice?
The George R. R. Martin.
Nice.
Song of Ice and Fire.
Nice.
That terrible gum that I did not like.
So coating of frost is what they get. Adds a boon to you and your allies. All effective allies within the burst gain shielding equal to double your composure. That's great. Just a shield. And it's a Persine ability, and it's a burst 3, so it's pretty big. Takes your attack action. Totally worth it.
Yep.
Totally worth it. Especially if you, get to go first, and it's your first action it, with the changes to initiative.
Yeah,
your first action spending it to as an spending an attack on that to do that. Well, you can't spend an attack; you can spend a move, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, never mind then. An ice skate, which is basically turns him into Iceman or Frozone.
Hell yeah!
You slide along frost.
Where's my super suit?
If there is an area that has been affected by one of your abilities or an enemy afflicted by any stacks of frostbite within 10 spaces of you, you may disengage your speed towards it. That's fun. That's going to change a lot. It's going to open up a lot of actions for people and interesting turns. All right, and the last one that we have complete and written is Step 6 Scoundrel. So they get an immediate at-will action called Baiting. When you're hit by a targeted attack while adjacent to an enemy who did not make the attack, you may make a basic attack roll, and you basically just redirect it into an adjacent enemy. Very fun, simple. And not the only thing they get.
But also just so flavorful of just... That's something Champion wouldn't do unless, again, you co-path.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel in the flavor, but the idea of just like, ha-ha!
It's something you could imagine Citadel doing, but not in flavor. Like mechanically you could imagine it, but in flavor, this is Scoundrel. Like, oh.
Citadel wants to take the hit.
Yeah.
And then give it back.
Exactly.
Scoundrel's like, no.
And they get Spring Trap, so new trap. We had a lot of fun with this one. You pick a direction when placing the trap. When an object your size or smaller enters the space, it is propelled 8 spaces in the chosen direction. For every 1 space the triggering object travels upwards, subtract 1 from its total distance. So you could throw it up 4 spaces.
Yeah.
That's 20 feet. Yeah. That's pretty far.
I could even imagine the Scoundrel using that on himself to like rocket jump.
Oh, yeah. Like, do a real speedball, fastball special. And we put in Back Pocket Bolo, which I'm sure we all remember.
Yes.
We really went to town on that one. All right. So Champion doesn't have a Step 6 yet. So Step 6 Champion is probably going to be, let's see, the last things we gave them in Step. Let's get a quick rundown of their abilities, I think. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. So Core, Core Champion, +1 to all attacks. They can challenge an enemy where they deal increasingly more damage to one enemy. Deadly Arc, and it's basically a melee attack against everybody around you. Step 1, 5 extra damage to enemies who are knocked flat. I don't think that needs to scale.
No.
5 is great. You'll always be happy to get that extra 5.
It becomes less and less important, but you get more
and
more.
You still want it.
Yeah, and you get more and more stuff, so it doesn't...
Could you have a Scoundrel use the box to launch a spinning champion like a Beyblade?
I think you could launch them into an area, and then on their turn, they do the spin.
Okay.
Right?
Still like a Beyblade.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they keep doing that attack every
deadly
round.
Deadly art.
Yeah. they get Overwhelming Strike, which we're all very familiar with. Just solid single target damage. Double Strike if they're using 2 weapons. And then Helmet Splitter, which is your bread and butter. That's your scene ability if you want to kill somebody. Step 2, they get Manhunter. You get the upper hand against targets within your reach that are slowed or immobilized. Reckless Abandon, it's a stance. It's daily. Whenever an enemy makes an opportunity attack against you, your next attack gains additional damage until the end of your next turn. So basically, it's a stance that encourages you to provoke opportunity attacks to whip the shit out of somebody.
Like Bugs Bunny when he puts his leg out.
Yes.
Like a pretty lady?
Sure.
Is that what happens?
That's exactly it. No, this is exactly how it works. Yep. That's exactly how it works.
Great. Glad we agree. Step 3 Champion, they get weapon-specific boons. Piercing Lunge, when attacking with a piercing weapon, you may sack your move action to increase your reach by 1 for the duration of the attack. Battering Ram, after you make a successful bashing attack on your turn against an enemy your size or smaller, you may choose to push the enemy 1 space away from you. If the enemy cannot move due to a solid obstruction, it takes additional strength damage.
That's good.
Damn.
Rending is cutting weapons. If you hit with a cutting attack, the target begins to bleed. With a scaling bleed damage with your level.
Which is good. It's good. And I tried that. It's good.
And then we get an ability that we still haven't had a chance to see pop off because we haven't gotten a champion that high yet, is Showboat. You must be observed by sapient creatures. You get a +5 bonus to your next physical skill check until the end of the scene, which that's just a fun skill check bonus. Yeah. Just you're showing off. Step 4, Reaping. When your attack reduces an enemy to 0 hit points, you may move your speed and make a basic attack against an enemy that you can see. You may only do this once per round. And Relentless Advantage. It's another stance. You make a basic attack, and whether or not it hits, you enter the stance. Track the damage you deal to targets after entering the stance. For every 20 damage you deal to a target, you deal 2 additional damage against that target until the end of the scene.
I love that.
And that doesn't need to scale. That's great.
Don't worry, it'll scale.
Yeah, because you're going to be hitting that 20 damage a lot sooner in later levels. All right, and then step 5, armor ferocity. So you add 2 plus your composure to your armor against attacks from enemies currently affected by your banes. That's huge. And it sounds like it's enormous, but composure is not one of your primary stats.
No.
If you're in step 5 champion.
It's probably a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
Or a 0.
Or a 0. It's probably a 0. So getting a 2 armor is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 extra armor, because you're probably wearing armor if you're doing that.
All right, so my first idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got 2 more to do. I mean, if you got a funny joke.
Well, I was just going to say, you know that thing that Crocodile Dundee does to animals and puts them down? What if the champion gets that? We can call it...
Oh, I think only Bart Simpson makes that noise. That's where I think I get that from, is that episode where he's scaring the dogs or whatever. That's fun, too. I think that's similar to challenge. Actually, that's to, like, calm a thing, right?
Yeah, just to set it down. Sit down.
So they get pounce, and it's an at-will attack, and as part of this attack, you may move your speed and make a basic attack, gaining a +2 to dodge against opportunity attacks during this movement.
It scales well with other stuff and is interactive. I like it.
Yep. One thing is that it's an at-will ability. Oh, I feel like it should almost be a scene. Like, how often can you use that? How about instead of you, as part of the attack, you may move your speed, we can say, if you move while doing this. No. If you sacrifice your move action, you must spend your move action as part of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you may jump your speed.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And you gain a +2. Yeah, and regardless of whether or not jump is included.
Just so that they're not getting double move all the time with that.
Yeah, because they can just double move every turn. They move and then jump. You know?
Yeah, but then would you want to remove Overwhelming Strike for that all the time? You probably wouldn't.
This is for getting into combat.
Yeah.
How about if you... It says you may move your speed and make a basic attack, gaining a +2. What about instead of it being an attack action, it's a move and attack action? You have to spend both. We just say that.
Yeah.
You get to move 2 further than your base speed. You may include a jump in any portion of this, and we'll come up with rules with jumping that I don't think we should put into this. Like, during any part of this, you may include it as a jump. You may jump your speed. If you don't, your speed increases by 2.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. So you either increase your speed by 2 or you get the...
The leap, yeah.
The leap that gives you the +2 to dodge?
You get the +2 to dodge no matter what. If you don't jump, you move further. If you do jump, you get to jump your speed, which is probably huge. Much further, than you normally would.
So you could... Just for gaps and walls and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just flying in, just...
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Nature Boy.
Woo! That'd be fun. Okay. We'll make that change to pounce. And then magnanimous defense. You loudly proclaim that you intend to spare a foe. you get a boon. If you've previously dealt damage to an enemy, you get +2 to your composure skill checks and your composure defense until the end of the scene or until that target takes damage. That's very small, but
I love it. It
can be with everything else that you just got, right?
But I also just love it just because it's so, again, that's flavor, baby.
Yeah, agreed.
It's like a Swiss Army knife. You don't use the toothpick very often, but you're glad you got it.
I'll spare thee.
Mm-hmm.
You, sir, I'm saving you for last. That's a fun one.
Is that man crying? No, I'm not. It looks like he's crying.
Nobody touch him.
Till he's had a straw.
Take a moment to compose yourself. We'll be with you in a minute.
Stop.
don't want to slay a man while he's crying.
I'm not crying.
He's wearing glasses. We'll wait for him to take them off. The rest of you, come on. So step 6, it seems like they've gotten, since step 2, they got their first stance. Step 4, they got another one.
Do another stance? One?
Yeah. So the 2 they've got, we already went over. Reckless Abandon, where they are trying to provoke opportunity attacks. And Relentless Advantage, where your damage increases for every 20 damage you deal. That's single target. It specifies that it's against the same, the same target. So we've got one that you want to be mobile and provoking. And we've got one where you deal increased single target damage. What about when there's people around you?
What about when there's a bunch of stuff for you to kill?
It seems like a fun third thing. And also appropriate to save till now.
Yeah.
So you're really like jumping into the the shit. I mean, damage is always good. Just dealing extra shit.
Damage is always good. This might sound like it's treading too much on Citadel, But what about just a, you make a stance. You're surrounded by a bunch of dudes. You're in full Jackie Chan mode. Every attack that's made against you, you get an opportunity attack back.
I like that, except that I think it's often that you won't be the focus. Right? So yeah. So the reason why the provoking an opportunity attack thing is good is because it's up to you. You can force the issue. Mm-hmm. But if you jump into a big group of dudes, they may not be incentivized to attack you other than your...
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? You don't really get to force the issue. So what if there's something that... I like the idea of them provoking extra attacks from you.
But we already have something that deals with opportunity attacks.
Eh. Receiving them.
Yeah.
But what about something that, like, you're stomping around and every time you damage an enemy, adjacent enemies to you take damage, maybe.
I like that.
You don't have to do an extra attack against them. You're okay. Just dealing extra.
I was thinking like a Newton's Cradle. Like you have a line of six enemies and you hit one and it just deals damage all the way down the line.
That'd be fun. Like Tick versus the Idea Man when he flicks one in the head and they all hit their heads together.
And then it goes back.
Yeah. All right, Idea Man. We've made this joke.
Yeah. What's the big idea?
It's the first episode of the Cartoon Tick. Watch it. So do we want you to have to do extra attacks or do we want like a because you're in a stance, you do a passive thing? Because here's the thing. If we make it so that you're dealing out extra attacks all the time, we're in like monk territory.
Yeah, right? And also it'll take a lot of time.
Yeah.
I just like the idea. Okay, you do an attack. Mm-hmm. Enemies on either side of it take damage.
Like a you shall not pass kind of slam your weapon down.
Just your attacks are ferocious.
What's the flavor of it? So if people, how about it's not people next to each other, but people next to you.
Okay.
And the idea is you're just making wild swings.
Blade dance?
Something like that. Or yeah, I would imagine like even more like berserk, you know, than something as like composed as a dance, you know?
Yeah.
What if it's you deal damage? If one of your attacks hits, you pick an enemy adjacent to you to take additional damage every time one of your attacks lands?
Yes.
So it would make sense for somebody who's dual wielding to get more additional damage off, right?
For each attack.
Right. But it would still make sense to do this if you're using a two-hander.
Yeah. And I think it should scale with dexterity and strength.
Well, the chance to hit scales with dexterity for sure.
I still think the damage should.
Yeah.
Because this is like, rather than it scale with your level, it should be attached to your two main stats.
What if it's literally just half the damage you dealt?
I like that.
So actually, we don't have to roll again. You're just dealing. Okay.
And I think it should work for your dailies and your encounters. So you can you make a helmet splitter. That secondary attack after helmet splitter is feeding off that momentum.
Would it be more fun if you don't get to pick who it was? Like it'll never be an ally.
Yes.
But if
you're kind of like in blind fight mode, like it just happens. Like you're just going.
Yeah, whoever's within your reach, right? So if you're using a reach weapon, like that's another way to really
I like that a lot.
Okay. That's a fun stance. They'll take half the damage and if there's more than one additional target, you have to roll.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just say it's chosen at random. We don't have to specify how you choose a thing at random.
If there's two, you flip a coin. If there's three, there's a die three.
Sure. Okay, I like that. I think that's simple, and everybody will be drooling over it.
Yeah.
It's half damage, and that scales with a big two-hander, and it scales with two one-handers. It scales, like, goes up with reach. Okay.
But I do like the idea if they're using the two, like, dual-wielding. Mm-hmm. The random target is chosen randomly for both ones.
Yeah, because just imagine you're swinging like crazy. But it's only if the attack hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you'd have to calculate the damage to deal half.
Half of no damage is no damage.
Yeah. Let's come up with a fun name for it. Blade dance is cool, but you know what? So often you're not using blades. Often you're not dancing.
Yeah, that's true.
The flavor's right.
Whirlwind strike. I don't think it's that wild. I think it's like furious.
Yeah, the closest thing that we have already is something called reaping, which is, you know, similar. Yes. And that's a good word. But what's something... What takes wide swings?
Like a scythe.
Yeah, we already have something called arc. So, it's good. I mean, it's good. We're in the same thing.
I'm just thinking of scythe.
Scything something could work.
Let me scything pull strike.
Let's click on sweeping. Let's see what that brings us. Wholesale slaughter. How about that?
I like that.
It's so.
I like that. Because also sounds like a wrestling move.
Yeah. Or a wrestling character. But the idea that, like, All right, I'm going to enter the stance of wholesale slaughter.
Is he like
I am become merchant of death.
Yeah. Is he a greengrocer? Like he's got like a white apron and he just comes in the ring?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Wholesale slaughter. Mm-hmm.
It's a Sam's Club uniform.
Yeah.
He's got a meat tenderizer.
He's coming for you. You're fucked.
Yeah, he's Sergeant Slaughter's protege. I like it. He's the chef in Sergeant Slaughter's Wholesale Slaughter.
Cookie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we're going to do now step six, command, I think. Or, well, okay, here's the three. We got command, marksman, radiance.
I almost want to do marksman the most.
Marksman?
Let's see what I'm kind of feeling marksman.
Okay. Whoa! What is
that? What's going on right now?
Who could it be?
Hey, gentlemen, sorry I'm late.
It's Doug.
As the daylight savings caught up, I couldn't remember if we were doing. It's my. I haven't set my watch, so it's actually 7 o'clock on my watch.
That was like a month ago.
Doug, you're a time traveler. There are so many daylights you saved.
No, yes. not multiple. Time, it's not time travel. It's space travel. It's
time
location.
Space.
Well, it's just the space. I haven't gotten the time mastered yet. So.
Oh.
Well, master, but you like do it right?
Dabble.
You dabble in time travel.
But it's not...
You're a time dabbler.
We're all traveling through time right now.
Look.
It's linear.
One, fuck you.
I feel like it's extra disrespectful for a time traveler to show up late.
Yeah.
No, I told you that it was the daylight savings.
Right? It's true.
First of all, time is relative, so depending on where you are.
Oh, hold on. Sure. Listen, I think we're going to have a serious conversation about this. You need to... I'm going to make a Penrose diagram, and you need to show me exactly how you showed up late.
Yeah.
I'll point to the daylight savings, like, whatever it is, decree.
We were at right angles to all time.
Yeah.
Look, just...
Written by the Kaiser during World War I. Oh, that's the reason.
While you're at it, can you explain Primer to me again?
That's a mediocre film that's really pretentious.
Oh, I thought it was clever. It's clever as well.
Go sit in the box. Sit in the box.
Yeah.
No, it's a fine film.
It would be funny if at the end of 7, he says, "What's in the box?" And the guy from Primer, like, steps out.
Hey, what's up? I heard you found God.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, well, Doug, while you're here, let's try to bang out another step six. We've got command, marksman, and radiance.
Marksman's my pick.
I like marksman.
That's my pick.
Yes. Partial.
Okay.
Let's do marksman.
Marksman. All right.
I have a special place in my heart.
It's a slayer. It's a bullseye.
Arrows.
All right, so quick rundown of marksman. Core, they had a pretty big overhaul last time we saw them. So they get range training, which you pick assault or long shot marksman. And if you are... this is...
If you're made of bees... all your bees get bows.
Like
little tiny bows.
Like a bee aircraft carrier?
Oh, man.
Like Ms. Pac-Man?
Is Ms. Pac-Man full of bees?
No, she's got a bow.
Oh, that would have blown my mind.
No, not like Ms. Pac-Man.
30-something years of my life not knowing that Ms. Pac-Man was full of bees.
You know, Ms. Pac-Man wasn't, like, actually made by Namco. It was a hack job done by, like, some dudes in Missouri, and then they just brought it to Midway, and Midway mass-produced it.
Hmm.
Those are the days.
Did you know that Pac-Man was supposed to be called Puck-Man?
Yeah.
But the Japanese were like, those American pigs.
No, they were afraid they would scratch it and it would say fuck, man.
By who? Those
children.
American pigs.
It would, yeah, because the Japanese kids don't know what the word fuck means.
Yeah. They do.
I'm sure there's fun. Oh, I wonder what the kanji like equivalent is and like what the nearest shape to fuck would be, you know?
Could they make Pac-Man now? If like if they don't like
was
to make
it too,
movies.
Is it too offensive?
Yeah, because they don't make movies about ghosts and stuff anymore. I'm thinking of China, not Japan.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Japan really loves ghosts. Yeah.
All the ghosts coming from Japan these days.
But wouldn't Pac-Man be the enemy in the game?
So he plays the ghost. This is
in China, they would be like ancestral spirits. Like, and like Pac-Man's like a demon trying to eat your ancestral spirits, and you got to.
Either way,
him.
It's not good for their.
No one in China's ancestral spirit is named Clyde.
Listen. I've seen the 1990s Mulan. I think I know a little bit about China.
So you pick Assault or Long Shot, and if you pick Assault, at your core, you get two features that make it a little bit easier to have the Assault style. So you get Run and Gun, where you can fire mid-stride with that penalty, and then you get Snapshot, where once per round when an ally misses with an opportunity attack within five spaces, you make a single basic range attack against a targeted enemy as a free action. If the enemy provoked the opportunity attack while moving, you may use this ability against them at any space in that movement. So we took the unlimited missed opportunity attacks thing away from Slish because it was ridiculous.
It was fun, though.
It was fun.
It was also broken.
It was fun, and we're like, okay, we're going to live in this moment, and then it's this beautiful moment. We're taking it away because it had to be. And if you pick Long Shot style, you can spend a move action on your turn to aim. And if you do, you get +2 to hit with your next attack this turn, which means you could do it just right before you attack. So spend your move action, get a better chance to hit. And you get Strong Draw. So you may treat the strength requirement of ranged weapons as though they were one fewer. And we made heavier bows that deal more damage that have higher strength requirements. So it makes it easier for you to benefit from being a Long Shot. They get a at-will attack called Fire from the Hip. If the attack hits, you may disengage as a free action.
So good.
And Punch Through, you ignore extra armor equal to your intellect. And if the attack hits, make a second attack roll against a creature beyond the first, in line with you and the target, and within your range. The second attack is not granted cover by the first. If the second attack hits, the second creature takes half the damage of the first.
Tight.
Pretty self-explanatory, and also incentive enough that you could do either of these as either style, but hopefully it's incentive enough to bias you towards one based on what you picked.
Well, I just even think situationally is going to, like, the situations provided to those types of characters will let you know which one you're going to use.
Yeah. They get a feature called Worrying Shots. Critical hits with your range attack grants allies the upper hand against the effective target until the end of your next turn. That's great.
Yep.
Impossible Shot. You cannot be wielding a light range weapon to do this, but you double the range of your ranged weapon attack for this attack, and it's an at-will. That's great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You get Rapid Fire. Can't be wielding a heavy range weapon, so you attack twice with the same range weapon. And Pinning Shot, where you hit them, you deal your weapon tier +12, and the enemy is immobilized until the end of your next turn.
Great. Those are all...
That's just bread and butter, baby.
We use that in the when those monsters were trapped in the doors or whatever, when we went into...
Oh, yeah. Where we created a bottleneck in the doorway. Yeah. That Doug's character the bottleneck.
Yeah. The raccoon Adonis. The perfect time.
Flowers for Adonis.
Such a good reference.
It was great.
Such a good reference.
Thank you.
Step 2 marksman. They get Shoot the Gap. It's a feature. Allies do not provide cover for enemies against your range attack. And great. Devastating Shot is a daily. They may sacrifice their move action this turn to augment the damage of this ability. So it already does 19 plus your weapon, but augmented is 29.
Damn.
It's just a huge hit. Step 3, increase draw weight. So you add your strength to your attacks when you hit with heavy ranged weapons.
Okay.
And Ricochet, you can bounce a shot off an object to strike an enemy with a ricochet. You may fire at a hard object within range to force your projectile to change direction to hit the target. You must have direct line of sight to the object, and the object must have line of sight to the target. For each bounce, the weapon or ability's damage is reduced by 5 tiers. If it will be reduced below tier 1, it cannot hit. The projectile can only move a maximum number of spaces equal to the ability's range.
Is there no light there?
There's no light one on this, on step 3.
We should change that.
Yeah. Should we?
Yes.
Should that be Ricochet?
No. I don't think Ricochet doesn't feel inherently light.
Yeah.
Well, Ricochet could be useful to a light if you're doing like assault, in a small space.
But it doesn't feel Ricochet exclusive.
It doesn't exclude heavy weapons.
Right.
So I think that sounds fine. But also, you could add a light specific thing, and that would be fine.
Because we're adding damage to heavy range weapons, What can we add?
The thing with what was the heavy one?
Add your strength to heavy rage weapon attacks. So I don't. We're adding damage directly. Mm-hmm.
Let's do it indirectly with assault then.
Okay.
I propose we, when wielding a light weapon, the crit range extends to 19.
1 and 20?
Oh, maybe.
Like piercing weapons.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
That's pretty good. I was going to suggest, do we have anything?
And it's also just clean.
Yeah, actually, now I think about it, this is probably better for a heavy. So keep this in mind, maybe for a heavy thing. But I was going to say, do we have anything about arrows piercing someone, going through them into the next target?
That's their core ability with heavies.
I thought the core ability was...
You get long shot style, and there's a... you basically line up, and you pierce through and hit the guy, and they take half damage if they're behind him.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm confusing it with a non-range thing.
Like, no worries.
Sounds like we've been doing this for years.
I like the crit range thing, except for it's not... It doesn't exclude heavy weapons.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the...
Yeah.
I like it. Let's put that in step 6. But like, we'll bench that. But it doesn't exclude heavy weapons. What can you do with a light bow? Is it the bow itself? Like, I just feel like the benefit is you're super mobile, right?
Yeah. And maneuverable. You can pick extra targets. You can.
Could you get it like a cheap shot?
In the face. Could you use the bow as a melee weapon?
What like if when you crit,
it's still more of a heavy thing?
What if when you crit, you get a free attack?
Double tap.
Yeah, but then again, adding strength with every attack is much better than occasionally getting
a crit. Yeah,
if we divide that damage by 20, right? Which is what it is.
So are we talking like a Mongol bow? Are we talking crossbows?
We're talking recurve, light crossbow.
Okay, so small.
Mm-hmm. What about every time you damage two enemies around, you get a free attack? So for instance, you can shoot a guy and not have an extra attack, but somebody provokes one from you with your core feature, you shoot at that guy, and then you get a third one. Or is that too many attacks?
Yeah. I don't think that's too many attacks. I also think that will happen super rarely. I think that'll happen rarely than critical attacks.
Well, the thing though is you can force the issue because you get double shot with a light weapon.
Yeah. Okay.
But imagine getting shot with a crossbow or a light bow from like 5 feet away. Would it have extra damage being that close?
I don't think so.
Not really.
Like, I'm thinking like a, like, I mean, a real crossbow.
The idea of something like a point blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of shotgun style weapon would be cool. I don't think that's for the flavor of bows.
No.
And the difference in damage, I don't think, would be...
The Korean crossbow that you can shoot multiple arrows from.
Maybe something for an enemy that's already, like, let's say, immobilized by a pin shot.
Hitting an immobilized enemy is good.
But that's also, that feels like all marksmen should be able to do that, not light. I like the idea of just, you've already hit two, you go for a third. You're on a roll.
Ooh.
You're running hot.
What about you don't provoke attacks of opportunity if you disengage after shooting? Or no, because then you just disengaged before, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the not provoking attacks of opportunity is pretty good. It's not increased damage.
But it makes you slippery.
Yeah.
You know, which is you know, if you're doing light, you're more mobile.
Slippery is important.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Only once per round. Like, you provoke, you get to ignore one. Like, you can choose not to...
Maybe after a successful hit?
No. I don't like that. Because
it also messes up the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, because the idea is, if I am on low health and I'm going to shoot somebody in front of me, and I provoke an opportunity attack, and they hit me, and it kills me, I never get to fire, because that's the idea, is that I'm doing it in that time. I like the idea. Let's say that for later. I think that, but I want to. It doesn't feel like. I kind of like that if you hit two targets.
I like that
once per round. If you hit two targets, on the second target hit, you get a free attack against a third.
In fact, I want to make it even better.
Okay.
Every attack past two, So you hit two targets, you get three. You hit three targets, not including that. Like, if you do rapid shot and then you get an attack of opportunity, you get attacks for both.
So it's like the last frame on a bowling.
But here's the thing. I think that's crazy better than increased draw weight for the right party, right? Because if you got command, right? Like, you're being granted attacks. I mean, I think... If you're doing assault style, you're probably just going to force the issue, right? Mm-hmm. Do they have to be two separate targets?
Yes.
Mm. Is it stoop? No, this, because mechanically it's not much different, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you just fire two arrows at once? And if it lands, then it's just double damage?
I don't know. Because that's what double shot is.
Yeah, right.
What if the extra attack cannot be somebody you've already hit? So that way you can fire twice at the same target, and if they both hit, you get a free attack against somebody else.
Yeah.
And if you shoot at two different targets, you need a third to get the benefit. I feel like that's a self-balancing thing. You want to try that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, what do we call that?
Fanfire.
Fanfire? Like fan the hammer?
Yeah.
Third time's a charm.
Plucky.
I don't hate Plucky. I don't hate it.
We already have rapid fire, right?
Yeah.
We have quick draw already somewhere, I'm sure.
That's almost like suppression.
Yeah, bullseye, something like...
How about like harry?
I like that.
Harrying fire or something like that?
It's good.
You guys like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Harrying fire it is. Okay, that's step three, marksman. All right, let's keep moving.
We're fixing stuff.
This is important. The game has changed since the last time we made steps. Okay, step four. This is where they get the fun shit. Versatile quiver one. So this is the first rank of versatile quiver. The mastery of fletching and familiarity with your gear allows you to pull specific arrows. This is the Hawkeye thing.
Yeah.
You pull out a trick arrow. So once per turn, as part of your attack action, you may choose one of the projectile types listed below and apply them to the attack. If the attack hits, apply the effect. If the attack misses, the projectile is expended. Hollow arrow, you get one per scene. Target starts bleeding. Damage is your level plus one of dice tier.
Great.
Explosive arrow. Arrow explodes on impact, damaging all creatures and burst one of the target with fire damage instead of your weapon damage, and that it does your level plus two is your dice tier. Piercing, you get two per scene. And the attack's damage ignores armor equal to your intellect. If the attack is a critical hit, ignore all armor. And then we have heavy broadhead.
Does that stack with the other armor ignoring you can do with other abilities? I think it should. You
only get 2 per scene. All right. Ignores additional armor equal to your intellect. Okay, well, so we'll change that for piercing. It will ignore additional armor equal to your intellect.
Yeah, because that way they can punch through already does that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of you're punching through with an armor-piercing arrow.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, of course, that works better.
And then unlimited, you've got heavy broadheads. Increases the damage of the attack by 2 tiers. So all of your damage goes up in marksman step 4.
That's good. I like that.
All right. And then you get catch a breather. So you suddenly become aware of the enemy's positioning, and you move to gain advantage. So this is a scene ability. It's a move action. You may disengage a number of spaces equal to your dexterity and regain health. The hit points you regain is your endurance and your composure added together, plus one plus your level in dice tier. So pretty good. And it's a scene, which is good. I like those. Step 5, suppressive fire. Your hail of projectiles feels relentless and oppressive to enemies, causing them to second-guess themselves. If you hit with 2 range attacks in 1 round... Damn it.
Oh, we already...
Enemies within range of those same attacks and within your line of sight move at half speed until the start of your next turn. I feel like that's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's good. We don't need to change it.
No.
Just because it has the same
trigger effect. Yeah. No, I like the fact that it triggers that and you fire a third shot into them being slowed.
Because this will affect heavy
long
and
shot.
Light.
Yeah.
So, and then distracting shot, it's an at-will attack. You send a shot across the enemy's proverbial bow. You buzz their tower, and it rattles them, making them clumsier. I like that I used 2 metaphors for the same thing.
I don't care.
I'll keep it. The effect is the target gains -2 to dodge and -2 to hit until the end of your next turn.
That's fucking rad.
That's an at will. So the damage, though, is your weapon tier plus your level -4.
Solid.
Right?
Works out, yep. It's not what you're going for.
Yeah, okay. So that's distracting shot. Do we want to make a new rank of versatile quiver this early? Because I feel like they probably haven't gotten the full breadth out of that, right? Because we gave them a ton of options.
Mm-hmm. If anything, we could add versatile quiver 2, and it's just...
That's what I mean, yeah.
We could totally do that and literally just go, you get an extra hollow arrow, you get an extra this arrow, you get an extra that arrow. Done.
Before we go too far, I have a question about distracting shot. The idea is that you basically, air quotes, miss on purpose.
Yeah, you basically like flash in front of their face, you know.
Should there be something where if you are missing on purpose, but
you're
failed...
You're still hitting them. That's the thing.
You are
hitting
them?
The shot is distracting, yeah.
You're ringing their bell.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Because I think if you miss on purpose, but you failed the roll, do you hit them?
That's fun.
In a way that's like, whoa, well, this is like, oh, this is the head... this is the head mayor of the town. I just want to scare him. I'm going to do distracting shot. Oh, I fucked up. He's dead. And now we're wanted for murder.
No. I always thought of distracting shot as you're hitting them, but you're picking a place that makes a lot of noise or is very visible or is like...
But your metaphor of buzzing the tower is more of like, well, he didn't hit the tower. He just, you know.
The metaphor doesn't match because we do want them to hit, right? But it's a fun image.
Ring his bell is, you know.
Could we have, is there another metaphor for like a plane hitting a tower or something? Is that more
I don't think it's ever happened.
No, airplane pilots are too good to, they don't hit towers.
Yeah, the FCC would, the FAA would step in, you know, they would stop them.
Haven't you seen the movie Pushing Tin? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen Pushing Tin.
All right. So Liam had the idea of extending the crit range from 1 to 20 instead of just 20. I like that. Liam, you like it for just assault?
Yeah, you're up close and personal. You get to see them. You are picking your shots.
I don't know.
Do you feel it should be both?
I think so.
Okay.
Because
I do want to bring
long
back...
shot is definitely also picking their shots, right?
But I definitely, in this step, because I don't think we did the previous two steps, I do want to differentiate between long shot and assault.
We can't. With that specifically, but we can differentiate between light and heavy range.
Yes, well, I'm saying that's what,
assault and long shot can, like, you can be a long shot marksman.
With a light bow.
With a light bow and just benefit from the lighter abilities, but you get to, for instance, if you're going to use rapid fire, you could spend your move action, you get a +2 to both if you're long shot style, right? Mm-hmm. Well, before we get into that, let's sign off on the crit.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. What was the other thing that we mentioned? I think it was something I brought up, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was not provoking attacks of opportunity?
Yeah. Yes. Once per round. Yeah.
How about instead of once per round from one target?
At a time?
Because your shot, every time that you shoot, you get to pick a target adjacent to you. You do not provoke opportunity attacks from that target. So that way, if you're surrounded, they're going to hit you, right? So you can use it to get away. You can...
Strategic.
And you can literally just call it slippery. They're just slippery.
Wet. Slippery when wet.
Yeah.
It's a great album. Okay, I like that. It's not too powerful. You're step 6 marksman, right? Like, that's a fun exception to the rules you get.
You've been dedicated to make it this far.
You're past the point of going one for one in two steps.
We got two passives, right? We got crit range doubles. We remove your lowest roll. Every time you fire while adjacent to one or more enemies, you may pick one enemy, and you do not provoke opportunity attacks from them.
Do we have any... What were the abilities before that? There was ability that was triggered by crit, right?
Yes. Everybody is granted the upper hand against that enemy.
Perfect. No.
So we already have that? Okay.
Yeah, no. The whole thing is, I was like, is that interaction too much? And then saw that, we're like, nope. Granting the upper hand more, while that is definitely going to affect the battlefield and change things, because it's so dependent on what everyone else does, one, great. Two, anything that makes the team feel more cohesive is, design-wise, I think something that's in line with what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. My idea would be like maybe a daily.
I was going to think that. I was thinking a daily. Go for it.
Every shot that you've missed in that round, you use that daily and you hit, and they all... come flying back like zombie arrows. Maybe like a D4 each one. That's too much.
But well,
it would be
like
a day
later.
It's the tracer
round from Zorg.
Yeah, you just like element. All your arrows just go up in the air and they're just kind of tooling around till you need them.
That's very fun.
Imagine you're playing a campaign. You level up in the middle of a fight and then you just drop that on everybody. And everybody
what God. The fuck? Yeah.
Like, you could do this all. No, I just figured it out. What are you talking about? Like, you already fired the arrows.
You've been missing. And all of a sudden, 10 arrows just
call it pain cushion.
Yeah,
I feel I like that's a call that, that's a zealotry thing, right? Like,
it's too magical.
Yeah,
I think Bayraktar.
You get a bird.
Yeah,
God, no, that's a sidestep. Yeah. Animal companion should be a sidestep.
Let's do a daily.
Yeah,
like I think you're on the right track, Max. Something that does something different depending on whether or not you're using a light or heavy ranged weapon. What about, is this a stance? Do they get a stance as a daily?
Yes, I like this.
We're trying to think of what both want.
How about for the light?
Dodge, honestly, right?
For a light, you get bonus damage based on the amount you move for the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so like you can move. You can move and attack at the same time. Your total amount of movement adds damage.
Okay.
And then for heavy. Yeah, you should incentivize standing still again.
If you plant yourself and enemies start to swarm you, you just go kind of Neo and like.
You get your movement speed as like a damage bank?
No, I would almost say this. You gain bonuses based on how long you don't move. So you sit there and you're shooting and you gain bonuses. You sit there, you don't move, you gain bonuses. There should be a ceiling. It should top out. One of them incentivize moving and shooting. One of them incentivizes staying. And float like a butterfly, sting like a bee is pretty good name for it.
Float like a butterfly or sting like a bee.
Float like a butterfly, colon, sting like a bee.
Float like a piece of paper you really need that's floating in the wind. Because that shit will get away from you every fucking time.
And sting like stubbing your toe.
The corner of a bed. Those metal bed frames.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right, what if movement... I kind of like long shot being the people who get increased damage from this more than assault.
Yes.
I feel like assault should get chance to hit from moving because they're hard to pin down. Like you're getting into places that it's distracting. Yeah, because then you would do this, your turn. It's your daily. You have to lead with an attack, right? And then from that moment, now you start accruing, right? So we could say something like, for every round from here on, if you have moved more than half your speed, you get an extra +2 to any attacks this round, and that scales forever.
Yeah.
And you move 2 or fewer spaces on your turn, your dice tier increases by 2 every round.
+2 versus 2 dice tier is not equal.
I think +2 might be better.
No, well, I think at this point, with how much 2 hit they already have stacked on, I think there's diminishing returns from chance to hit.
Could be.
Like, I think there's a point where chance to hit tops out pretty good, and damage will just keep going.
How about just
two? I guess 2 tiers isn't that much because it will even out, but it could. There could be a serious burst with a dice tier increase.
Well, generally, on average,
yes.
+2 dice tiers will average out to be just over 1 average damage.
Yes.
But what if we just give them an extra 2 damage for every. How about this? If they don't move, they get +2 to their damage. This stacks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they can just stay still and keep just laying down pain.
For how long?
Until the stance ends.
Until you decide to end it?
The moment you move, it's over.
Yeah. You got a 7-foot longbow. You're not really dancing around trying to move around.
Yeah.
I mean, this might actually make it worse.
You move more than 1 space in your turn, this ends.
Yeah. No, it's just to hit, right?
No, that's damage. For longbow.
Okay, so the damage stacks. Yeah. What you're saying. Okay. Because now I'm thinking of the situation of just, you know, longbowman standing there saying, okay, I'm doing it. This is my stance. I'm planting here.
Yep.
Fly, you fools, and I'm going to stay behind. Mm-hmm. And just like, but the longer I go, the harder I'm hitting.
Yeah.
That's awesome, but I feel like at a certain point, it's like, I'm going to take a Balrog down with 1 shot.
Yeah, but think about the absolute effort it takes to keep anybody from getting close to you so you don't have to move.
Sure. No, sure. Because
it vanishes the moment that you have to move, right?
That's true. Because you can get flanked and then you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's not totally useless because if somebody gets up in your face, you can fire 1 shot at them without provoking an opportunity attack with the new ability they get.
Yeah. And disengage.
Yeah. So.
So disengaging wouldn't count as
no, moving. They lose it, but they get 1 more shot in, and then they get to disengage.
Gotcha.
And I think +2 to hit, we need a stacking. How about a +1 to hit stacking for every round that you go with the stance with a light?
I want 1 more augment to it.
What's that?
Which is a movement speed increase.
I don't hate that. If you're using a light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are in a stance. You are moving, you are shooting, you're thinking in 4D, and you're moving fast and hard.
2 spaces.
Yeah.
So 10 feet. All right, so flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah.
I like those. I don't know where this would fit, but I have a question about a marksman thing, because we have the one about the run and gun. Do we have anything where, if you're running through a battlefield and you're passing enemies, there's something that you could get for every enemy you pass instead of incurring like attack of opportunity?
We have that for champions.
Champion has that. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Like counting coup. That's pretty fucking dope.
Almost like it, like slingshotting around planets to get around or whatever. You're like, but that I guess that makes more sense for champion.
The reckless abandon.
Yeah. Okay. And I just ask because I'm like, as you're both talking, I'm just picturing the grid in my head and all the pieces and where they're moving and like how the movement works. And is there anything cool that, if that looks good mechanically, what could that be? So on and so on.
What if it's...
if you're moving so fast that things behind you can't stay in their spot?
Yeah. Like you're like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's got it. I think that's Zealotry.
Yeah. We need to
Shadow the Hedgehog.
So thank you for bringing that up, Doug, because we need to actually quantify how much extra damage you get, because it's not in our notes here from Reckless Abandon. What do you think about a flat five for each opportunity attack incurred?
That's good, though. I mean, because you're taking the risk is the thing.
Oh, you are taking a heavy risk. Yeah. You can, if your team is good, you can get rid of a good amount of that. You can feel pretty.
And that's dude, like, for a champion move though. Could you imagine, like, I'm gonna risk it. I'm gonna go past. I'm gonna incur five attacks of opportunity, and this one, and the whole time you're working towards the one guy that you're like, you're the one. Yeah. And then you get there and you fucking stack that shit on top.
Yeah, that's whatever it was going to do plus 25.
Yeah.
If you incur five.
Damn, goddamn, that's good.
It is good. One, it's super risky. Two, it's another thing where if you have Radiance on there and you're shielded.
Mm.
And if you know you have heals incoming or someone's blessed you with extra dodge, you feel more likely to take that risk. It's an ability that sounds solo.
Does it get
fucking dangerous in a group?
But does it cancel? Great. Does it cancel if you get hit or stop somehow? Like if you're incurring
whether they miss or hit,
okay,
you get the damage. Pretty because good it's then. Just okay. you getting jacked yeah.
gotcha,
from
gotcha,
battle.
Gotcha. Yeah. Running through the gauntlet. Like, hit me, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
hit
I'm just me. Going like, through. But also, I would just love, your dodge has been stacked, you have a damage shield,
yeah.
The first guy misses you, second guy hits you, doesn't get it all the way through the shield. Third guy misses you, then you get hit two more times. But you've only taken, like, 12 damage.
Mm.
That's a lot, but now I'm trading 12 for 25.
You hit, like a meteor. You
know? Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. It sounds easy to abuse, and I think when you're actually on the table, you are looking at that ability going,
I don't know. Yeah.
I'll risk 10. Like, I'll risk 2 attacks of offer. Like, doing 5 is potentially suicide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have it right now for Reckless Abandon. Until the stance ends, whenever an enemy makes an opportunity attack against you, your next attack gains an additional 5 damage until the end of your next turn. This effect stacks.
Yeah.
And then I have the equation down below, which is weapon tier. Damage is your weapon tier plus your level plus 10, because you have to start with an attack.
Yeah. I want to see, like, level 3 helmet splitter with Reckless Abandon, like just 100 damage. But you had to
look what you had to do to get there.
What you had to do to get there and line everything up, and, like, also
it has to go right. And when things go right in your favor in that narrow opportunity, that is a story moment.
You should let your every once in a while your player should be able to hit a home run and do something stupid.
Yeah, you know, it's like,
he only had 35 hit. You didn't even need to do this.
In a game of baseball, you don't get a grand slam every game, but when it happens, like, it's amazing.
I think that's going to do it for us today, Doug. Thank you for taking a break from your life as an international man of mystery to join us here. Thank you, my other co-hosts, whose names I'm blanking on. thank you, Liam.
Who are less mysterious.
Thank you, Liam. Thank you, Max.
And just take some time tonight and think about, who is Waldo?
Why, you know, is Waldo?
Think about it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you have any comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 net patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord. On Twitter, we are at HomebrewHombres, and on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, everybody, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.